I'm going to call to order the Conference Committee on House File 4024, the Higher Education Finance and Policy Bill. The bill is before the committee, so I'm going to ask Chair Fonte, would you move the amendment coded A24-0346 before the committee?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
The amendment has been moved. I'm going to ask Ken Savory and Eric Olofsson to walk us through the DE.
Chair members for the tape, Ken Savory. I'm going to be walking through the spreadsheet. It's a one-page document included in your folders and packets. The timestamp in the upper right is 11:09 a.m. on 5/15/2024. There's a number of items. The columns merely represent the A24 amendment. So beginning on line 7, changes for the Office of Higher Education. Line 7 and 8 are cancellations and then extensions of previous appropriations related to the ALS research grant. Line 7 is the cancellation of $19,604,000, and line 8 is the reappropriation of the identical amount. Line 9 is a reduction to the North Star Promise program of $5,040,000 in FY25. It's a one-time reduction. And then line 10 is a corresponding increase in FY25 to the Foster and Independence grant, which is $5,040,000 in FY25. Moving down to line 13 is Minnesota State. There is one change for Minnesota State. It's for the Kids on Campus Head Start program on college campuses. The amount is $500,000 in FY25. And that concludes changes for Minnesota State. And then you'll see the total net general fund impact on line 35, which is $500,000, which is the committee's funding target of $500,000. So the committee has met its funding target. And then on line 38 and 39, you'll see some increased non-general fund revenue coming to the special revenue fund related to the multiple revisions of licensure and registration applications for the Office of Higher Ed. There'll be additional revenue in FY 25, 26, and 27 being tracked at $21,000 per year in 25 and then into the tails as well. So in total, revenue changes for the special revenue fund would be $21,000 in FY25 and then $42,000 in FY26-27 tails biennium. And Mr. Chair, that concludes the spreadsheet walkthrough, and I believe Mr. Olofsson will handle the language.
All right. Mr. Hopkins? I'm sorry, Mr. Olofsson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Eric Olofsson, Senate Fiscal Analyst for the Higher Education, for the Senate Higher Education Committee. I'll just be walking through the Article 1 of the A24-0346 amendment, which basically reflects the changes that Mr. Savory just walked through. So Section 1, beginning on page 1 of the DE amendment, is the ALS reduction in appropriation from the Session Law's 2022 appropriation of the $19.604 million, and then it reappropriates it in fiscal year 2024. With extended availability until June 30th, 2029. There's also a stipulation that you can see on page 2 of the amendment that notwithstanding Minnesota statutes, the commissioner, the ALS Association, Never Surrender, and other similar organizations may use up to a total of 5% of the appropriation for administrative costs. Section 2, beginning on the bottom of page 2 of the DE amendment and rolling over to the top of page 3, is just a technical change for the hunger-free campus grants that just clarifies that only the $500,000 for equipment is available until June 30th, 2026, and not the entire appropriation with that extended availability. Sections 3 and 4 is that shift of $5.04 million. So it's a 5.04 increase to fostering independence grant, higher education grants, and then a corresponding decrease in FY25 of the $5.04 million of the transfer to the North Star Promise. Section 5, starting on page bottom of page 3 and going through the top of page 6, but what we'll focus on is page 5 is just the modification to the University of Minnesota's $10 million appropriation to the CentraCare Health System campus in St. Cloud. This just modifies the appropriation, the previous appropriation, so the funds can be used and spent as they were originally intended. And then on section six is the appropriation to Minnesota State for the Kids on Campus Initiative with the National Head Start Association and the Association of Community Colleges and Trustees that specifies the funds must be, may be used for a temporary statewide project coordinator, stipends to campuses and Head Start centers, and other costs associated with creating campus Head Start programs. And Mr. Chair, that concludes my walkthrough of Article 1.
Thank you, Mr. Ellison. Then the walkthrough of the A24 amendment, Mr. Hopkins. I'm sorry, Ms. White.
Mr. Chair and members, Joan White from the Office of Senate Counsel. I will be walking, I'll be doing a high level summary or walkthrough of Article 2 of the Delete Everything Amendment. Starting on page 6, Section 1 is a Senate only provision from the Senate Finance Bill. And this section establishes a new section of law related to the consideration of criminal records when applying to a higher education institution in Minnesota. The changes to the Senate language that are reflected in the DE that are different than what was in the bill is that it includes violations in other states and foreign jurisdictions, and it allows institutions to inquire into delinquency adjudications. Section 2 is identical between the House and Senate. It modifies the American Indian Scholars Program to make eligibility consistent with other federal aid and scholarship programs. Section 3 prohibits public or private schools from withholding transcripts for students with unpaid debt, except under certain circumstances. The House and Senate language are identical, except for the Senate-only language is not included, which requires institutions to provide OHE with an updated copy of the policy and the number of students who were denied transcripts. Section 4 amends requirements related to campus sexual misconduct policies. This section contains the Senate technical and substantive language, except it doesn't include the Senate-only preponderance of evidence standard for sexual misconduct disciplinary proceedings. And it contains the House definition of stalking, which is a cross-reference to existing law. And there is also a technical amendment that was requested by OHE. One other difference is that the Senate-only provision that's included expands the applicability of this law to any event sponsored by the system or by a fraternity or sorority, regardless of whether the activity or event occurs on or off property owned or used by the system or institution. On to Section 5. These were identical in the House and Senate, and it establishes a program for parenting students, requiring public and private institutions of higher education to designate at least one employee as a navigator for parenting students. Section 6 is also identical in the House and Senate, establishes protections for pregnant and parenting students applicable to public colleges and universities. Section 7 and 8 are identical also, and they modify the Minnesota Inclusive Higher Education provisions, moving a reporting requirement to a new, more appropriate place in the law, and adding tribal colleges to the list of eligible grantees. Section 9 is a new section of law called the Minnesota Respond, Innovate, Succeed, and Empower, or RISE Act. This section requires public and private institutions to have policies to assist and support students with disabilities. The House and Senate language is similar, except the Senate language making self-disclosure sufficient to start the interactive process is included. The House language had stated that self-disclosure was proof of a disability. There's other technical modifications in this language also. And the DE also includes a couple provisions that were heard by both bodies but removed during the process due to possible fiscal implications, but it was subsequently determined that that wasn't an issue. So those provisions are included, and they deal with policy dissemination requirements and the requirement to provide an accommodation letter to instructors. Section 10 imposes requirements on post-secondary institutions that contract with online program management companies to provide online courses and other services. The House and Senate had technical and substantive differences. The delete all amendment includes the House only provision prohibiting a governing board from approving a contract unless the contract complies with the stipulations in this section. Also, reporting requirements under Subdivision 4 were reworked with MnState and OHE, and an exemption was added in new Subdivision 6 stating that an addendum or amendment to a contract entered into on or after July 1st of 2023 that increases or decreases the number of managed programs is not subject to this section, and this subdivision expires July 1st of 2028. On to Section 11, identical House and Senate language allows the Office of Higher Education to consolidate mandated reports. Section 12 was also identical, modifies the summer academic enrichment program to update a reference to universal free meals. Section 13, identical, provides the commissioner with flexibility in calculating financial aid when a student is eligible for multiple financial aid programs. Sections 14 and 15, now we're on page 29, modify the fostering independence grants. Section 14 was identical language in the House and Senate, and it makes changes to align eligibility with other financial aid programs. Section 15 contains updated Senate language requiring the commissioner to establish a priority application deadline, and if there are insufficient funds, to proportionally reduce the awards to keep spending within the appropriation. Section 16 to 20 and page 32 to 36 amend the North Star Promise Program. The DE does not contain the Senate amendment to the term gift aid related to Minnesota Foundation dollar scholarships. Otherwise, the House and Senate language is identical. Also, OHE wanted to clarify that the reference to federal law on page 33, line 10, is to section 108LL. Sections 21 and 22 are identical. They amend the Minnesota Student Educational Loan Fund, the SELF program, by allowing a student to borrow up to the maximum loan amount twice in the same grade level and prohibiting the commissioner from requiring annual payments, but allowing the commissioner to require monthly payments. Section 23 is also identical. This provision was in the House and Senate finance bills, and it increases the amount of revenue bonds the Minnesota Higher Education Facility Authority may issue from $1.3 billion to $2 billion. And Nathan Hopkins will summarize the remainder.
Mr. Hopkins.
Mr. Chair and members, Nathan Hopkins from House Research. Sections, these next few sections of the DE amendment amend sections of the Minnesota Private and Out-of-State Public Post-Secondary Education Act, which deals with the registration of those institutions by the Office of Higher Education. This begins on page 37 of the DE. Sections 24 through 27 on pages 37 to 38 all deal with the addition of a new definition of physical presence, and that's identical language between the House and Senate. Section 28 on page 38 of the DE. This is identical language between the House and Senate. This corrects a reference to federal rules, and it updates the closed school refund dates to a time frame of 180 days. Section 29, this deals with the criteria for approval of registrations. The first part is a House-only provision, which states that for contracts with out-of-state schools to provide educational programming, the contract has to include a joint and several liability provision and mandate compliance with this act. The second part is a Senate-only provision, and that prohibits schools from using non-disclosure agreements to restrict a student's ability to submit complaints about the school to the Office of Higher Education. Section 30 on page 41 of the DE, this is identical language between the House and Senate, corrects the reference to the federal rules. Section 31 on page 43 of the DE, and also sections 39 and 40, which are on page 48 and 49 of the DE. These are all adding additional fees for registration applicants, either private career schools or private schools that have multiple revisions or corrections that they need to make to their registration application. This was identical language from both the House and Senate finance bills. The final sentence in section 31 on page 43 that regarding exclusions has been updated. Section 32 moves on to amend sections of the Private Career School Act, which deals with licensure of those at institutions by the Office of Higher Education. This begins on page 44. Sections 32 through 37 on pages 44 to 46 all deal with adding a definition of physical presence to the Private Career School Act. Section 38 on page 47 of the DE, minimum standards for licensure. This adds two requirements for licensure of a private career school. The first new requirement was identical in the House and Senate language, and that requires that the school has not previously had a license revoked. The second new requirement is House-only language, and that states that for contracts with out-of-state schools to provide educational programming, the contract must include a joint and several liability provision and mandate compliance with the Private Career School Act. Sections 39 and 40 on pages 48 and 49 of the DE, these are the additional fees added in the Private Career School Act discussed earlier. Section 41 on page 50 of the DE, this is identical language, prohibiting a school from claiming that its programs qualify for national certifications that are not recognized by Minnesota employers. Section 42 on page 51 of the DE, this is a Senate-only provision. This adds a new subdivision prohibiting a school from using nondisclosure agreements to restrict a student's ability to submit complaints about the school to the Office of Higher Education. Section 43 on page 51 of the DE, this is identical language, allowing the Office of Higher Education to grant private career schools probationary licenses. Section 44 on page 53, this is more identical language. Section 44 prohibits the school whose license has been revoked from reapplying for licensure within 2 years and adds requirements for relicensure. Section 45 on page 53, identical language. This deals with exemptions to the Private Career School Act. And moving out of the Private Career School Act now, Section 46, which is on page 55 of the DE, this was identical language between the House and Senate, and it adds energy to the list of programs that are eligible for workforce development scholarships that are administered by Minnesota State. Section 47 on page 56, this was a Senate-only provision. And it requests that the University of Minnesota provide disabled veterans unlimited free access to the Landscape Arboretum. In the DE, the previous Senate requirement that also included one guest for the disabled veteran has been removed. And Section 48, the repealer, that was identical language between the House and Senate in the policy bills. And, Mr. Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the DE.
Members, I'm going to see if there's anyone who wishes to testify on the amendment. We had no one listed, but there are three letters in the packets. I don't see anyone coming forward. So, members, then a discussion to Chair Fateh's motion on the delete everything amendment. Seeing no discussion, then, Chair Fateh, would you move the adoption of the 824 amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
The chair has moved it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any discussion now to the conference committee report?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I apologize for being a few minutes late this morning. Traffic getting into downtown was surprisingly busy this time of day. Did I miss side-by-sides, or is that something that we don't plan to do at this point because we just went ahead and adopted the amendment?
I believe we did the side-by-sides already, but we can do it again if you wish.
No. I'm not gonna have us do it if we don't need to. I just wanted to make sure that if we had already done it or don't plan to do it, I was at least aware of what the committee planned to do.
Senator Duckworth, I came up from Winona, so I know what traffic's like.
Yeah, I hear
so, you. Senator Fonte, you have a...
Yeah, I was going to say the side-by-side for the policy is in the members' packets as well.
Okay. I'm just, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you. I guess I'm... Maybe I'm a little out of practice. I was usually accustomed to doing side-by-sides and then jumping into some sort of amendments or discussion, but that's okay. I appreciate us going through the delete all, and if I seem a little discombobulated, it's probably because we had a couple of bills. One didn't quite make it to the floor of the Senate, so now I'm kind of seeing it altered and combined with the House bill, so I appreciate that. I just have one question for Senator Fonte, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, sir. We had a discussion about some of the OPM language specific to Southwest State University. Just want to make sure that's reflected in the bill per that conversation and that from our understanding, the university is on board with that language.
Senator Fonte.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Duckworth. Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that. If I may make...
Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm somewhat disappointed on behalf, I think, of Senator Rarick that the gift aid provision was pulled out. I'm not sure if there's any chance of us giving that some reconsideration or if there's some explanation as to why that was maybe pulled out. I know that was important to him and students in a particular college or university in his district, but if there's any chance that that could be resurrected or reconsidered, I would greatly appreciate that. But other than that, Mr. Chair, that's the only comments I have other than to say something that we did spend some time on in the Senate during our Higher Education Committee meetings and on the Senate floor when the policy bill came before us were the ability of colleges and universities to ask questions as it relates to students and their background, essentially background checks and any criminal history or record that may be on there. You know, I'm not sure if that was heard in the House or not or part of that bill. And just curious to know if any conversations took place between now and then, Senator Fonte, with some colleges and universities to see if they became more comfortable with that language or if there's still some hesitation there.
Senator Fonte.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Duckworth. Yeah, there has been a lot of conversations between the chief author, Senator Umar Rabin, and all of the stakeholders, especially, I believe, the Minnesota Private Colleges Council did have some concerns. Chief Author Umar Rabin worked to address some of the concerns and incorporate that into the bill so that the language originally compared to now, they're much more comfortable with it, with the language as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that, Senator Fonte. And the only reason I bring it up is we didn't quite have a chance to have that discussion or debate on the Senate floor because of the higher ed finance bill obviously didn't come to us. I understand we've got some time constraints we're trying to work through. I don't think it was a part of either of the House bills either, so I feel like that's part of the bill we didn't quite get a chance to fully vet or give some consideration to or possibly offer some amendments on. I do appreciate the fact that you've been in contact with colleges, universities, their various associations to try to make sure they're as comfortable with the language as we can get. But in the future, I would just hope that, you know, we can carve out the time we need to for these bills to go through the appropriate channels, find their way to the floor for full discussion regarding amendments and things of that nature so that we can end up with the best product possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just take an opportunity to thank both of you for your support for an incredibly important project in greater Minnesota, and that's the University of Minnesota Center Care Medical School. I think that it's sometimes we make decisions and we support projects and we don't understand the ripple effects that they can have. And this project in particular is going to do wonderful things. It's already been partially leveraged for us to create a new EMS program at our high school. We are creating a whole new health career opportunity in greater Minnesota because of the support of the Minnesota Senate and the help along with you, Chair Pawlowski. So I just want to publicly thank you for supporting this incredibly important project.
Thank you, Senator. But Representative Wolgamott, do you wish to follow up?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And again, I want to echo my friend and colleague, Senator Putnam's remarks for the importance of getting this language through. And I'm hopeful that we will continue to work together to get this out of the House and the Senate and to the governor. But again, so proud to partner with Senator Putnam and the members of this committee, both in getting the $10 million in last year's budget and then making sure that we see it through this year. Like Senator Putnam said, we really need this in central Minnesota. We're facing a healthcare workforce shortage in rural areas, and getting this money over the finish line is going to go far in helping us address that. So again, thank you, Senator Putnam, and thank you to the chairs. Proud to get this work over the finish line with
the
you.
The chair is well aware of the last week of the need for health care and how positive it is in greater Minnesota. So I also appreciate it. McDonald, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, since I drove all the way from Delano, I might as well make one comment. Regarding page 5, section 5.17, or starting at 5.16, this was a language that was brought up by Representative Rarick, the other Rarick. And the word scholarship was her concern. We had an amendment on the floor, as you recall, Mr. Chair. So the word endowment regarding that scholarship really puts that money into a fund, my understanding through Representative Rarick, puts it into a fund that continue to grow. Whereas if we struck endowment and just left scholarship fund targeted at students who will practice in rural areas, then that monies, I believe it's $10 million, would be used appropriately at the same time for those scholarships for students. Whereas an endowment, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Chair, endowment is a fund that'll stay there and continue to grow, and it's kind of hands off for the most part, where scholarship is a must use for scholarships. And it's a great provision because it targets students that are going to practice in rural areas. So, Mr. Chair, I wanted your thoughts on that, and certainly that was our little hiccup in that section to remove endowment and just keep scholarships.
Representative McDonald, I regret that we took the Senate language on that one, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and on this one, the Senate won.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
It's just hard to hear that the Senate won over the House. I mean, we are such a larger body, more gregarious and better fighters than those in the Senate. But perhaps they'll accept an oral amendment and strike the word endowment. Is that appropriate?
Representative McDonald, an amendment would be in order if you wish to offer one. I can't speak for the Senate, but if you wish to offer it, I'm not wild on shoot from the hip amendments, but go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, let's try this because, again, Representative Rarick is the expert in this particular field as far as the endowment versus scholarship. But just to reiterate that, the scholarship fund, then that $10 million will go towards those students who are going to practice in a certain expertise and then placed in a rural area. So that's money put to good use when it's needed. The endowment can sit in a fund for quite some time. And I don't think we want that. We want this monies to be used for students sooner than later. So because of that and the need in the rural area, as you know.
So Representative McDonald, we would have to move reconsideration of the amendment. And then should that prevail, and again, we'd have to have the Senate support to do it, then you would be able to offer your amendment under reconsideration.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I understand that. I just wanted to reiterate
I'll defer to Senator Fate on this one if the senator is open to that motion to reconsider and then consider the McDonald amendment.
Sure, but first I'd like to see if there's a representative from the U of M or CentraCare that would like to come up and speak.
Do we have a representative who wishes to come up? Welcome to the conference committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jody Gerken with CentraCare, and thank you very much for including this into your bill. I do believe we are fine with the word endowment being removed and having just scholarships as it was in the House language, so we can live with either. We just really need to get the money out so we can use it.
Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Gerken, for being here and helping us figure this out a little bit. I'm a little bit anxious about changing anything here because, recall, this is money that we got last session, and imprecision in language last year is what caused us to be here again. So Do we have anyone from the U who can say, is Christine here? Who can say whether
yep,
or not this causes another wrinkle?
We have one more person coming down.
This little Wait. Price is Right is here, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Christine Keel, University of Minnesota. It is fine. We can take out the word endowment. Our wish was that this could extend into additional years to award scholarships to more students. But if it gets it through, as Ms. Gerken implied, like we want to make sure we can get this money out.
Senator Fateh, do you wish to make a motion to reconsider?
Yes.
Senator Fateh moves to reconsider his motion on adopting the 824 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Now you want to move, so we have to move his amendment again. So, Senator Fateh, would you move your amendment again, and then we're going to have the McDonald amendment to the amendment. I hope I'm tracking this.
Yes.
So,
someone's doing great.
Okay, so Senator Fateh moves the 824. Representative McDonald, specifically, where do you wish to make the change? I think I know, but let's have line and page.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 5, section 5.17, remove the word, omit, or delete, I should say, endowment.
Everybody on the committee, staff, Mr. Hopkins, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, to restore this to the original House language, the oral amendment would be page 5, line 17, delete endowment fund and insert program, and that would be the original House language.
So if I'm reading this correctly, then I'm on line 5.16, including a scholarship program. That would be the amendment that would do the job. Representative McDonald, is that your amendment?
Mr. Chair, that is my amendment.
Discussion to the McDonald amendment. Senator Duckworth.
I talked to Senator Rarick. He is very opposed to this. I'm just kidding. next time, maybe we'll just have both the Rericks on the conference committee so they can do this work themselves. But, no, I appreciate it. I think, you know, this is a byproduct of sometimes the finance bill maybe not coming to the floor where this could have been vetted out, but I'm glad we have the opportunity to catch it here, make the correction. I appreciate everyone's willingness to do so.
All right. So everyone understand the amendment. And staff, you've got the corrected amendment. So all those in favor of the McDonald amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now, Senator Fateh, do you wish to offer the A24 as amended?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you. While we have the bill back in front of us, if I may briefly bring something else up, this would be a Senator Rarick, not a Representative Rarick issue. Senator Fateh, I mentioned it before, he had that provision which made its way into the bill regarding gift aid not being included in scholarships funded by the Minnesota State Colleges Universities related to foundation dollars. First off, does that ring a bell? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So before I make a motion to try to put it back in the bill, is there any willingness at all on your part to give it consideration so that we could potentially add it today?
Senator Fateh.
Sure. I'll ask Commissioner Olson if he's here to come speak to that if possible.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Dennis Olson, Commissioner of the Minnesota Offices of Higher Education. If I'm tracking correctly, page 33, line 33.5 is.
So, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you. I'll read it for you, if that's okay. And this is the language that was in the bill, in a previous bill, and on the delete everything in front of us. This, the language I'm about to read to you, would be added after the end of the sentence on 33.3, which is on page 33. So I'll give you a chance to get there real quick.
I'm there.
Okay. So it would add this language after the word scholarship. Gift aid does not include scholarships funded by the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities related foundation dollars, essentially allowing those dollars not to be counted toward funds that would be awarded to students, essentially allowing them to maximize anything that they are eligible for or folks are willing to give them and not having it, I guess, subtract from anything else that they would get from the state.
Commissioner Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, we believe line 33.1 through 33.3 define that, including line 33.5, which defines other expenses. So in the view of financial aid administration, it's essentially redundant because it defines other expenses as books, required supplies, child care, emergency assistance, food, and housing already, essentially all of the non-tuition and fee related pieces that could be considered.
Commissioner Olson, could you explain that perhaps in language that we would understand whether you're for or against it?
Mr. Chair, against the amendment at this time because we believe it's clear enough in the language within the bill.
Commissioner, we also had concerns raised by Minn State regarding the addition of that language, and I think that was part of our discussion when we were putting the conference committee together, that Minn State also had concerns about inserting that language. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. I can tell when I'm on the losing side of a battle, and so I'll just offer this for us to give consideration to as we move forward and we revisit this in future sessions. The language that's in the bill talks about other expenses as opposed to what this would specifically call scholarship dollars or scholarship funds. All that to say, if for some reason, I guess if it's redundant language, then it's okay maybe just to have it in there to be safe, but I understand folks maybe not wanting it to be in there. If in the future we find out specific to some of these colleges and universities that have great partnerships that fund students attending higher education institutions, if for some reason it is preventing students from getting additional dollars that they could utilize toward those educational expenses, I would hope we would revisit this and make a tweak to the law. And I know for a fact, Senator Rarick will revisit with you if that does end up being the case. So I appreciate the discussion. Thank you for allowing me to raise it. And I just hope that if in the future it does need to be addressed on behalf of students and families and maximizing their help, that we can make a change if necessary. Thank you.
Senator Fonte.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Duckworth. And I just wanted to clarify with Commissioner Olson that there has been a letter sent out to institutions on how to interpret this. Is that correct?
Commissioner Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Chair Fateh, that is correct, actually. We sent a clarifying memo to the chancellor to be distributed not only with campus leaders but with members of the Board of Trustees as well to hopefully address any concerns, and that was well received.
So, Senator Duckworth, we're concerned too as this program rolls out, and it's going to be monitored very closely. So, hopefully, next session there will be changes if we need to make changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So,
any further discussion? Then the motion, Senator Fateh's motion to adopt the A24 as amended, is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails, and the amendment. A24 as amended is adopted. Then any further discussion, members, before one final motion?
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
I just want to say, I'm disappointed. It was proven right today that the House are better fighters than us senators. So.
Senator Duckworth, I would agree that the Senate's had a tough session. Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, maybe the good Senator Duckworth could use a little Irish luck.
There we go.
I will move to direct staff to prepare a conference committee report from the House language as amended by the A24 amendment as amended. Staff is further directed to make technical corrections as necessary to prepare the report. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The report is adopted. The conference committee has completed its work. And once again, Senator Fateh, thank you. It has been a pleasure working with you.
Thank you, Senator
Chair. And hopefully I'm going to drive my own car back to my apartment. But in the future, I know you're going to be taking care of all of us who don't have vehicles, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. The conference committee is adjourned.